Trump University presents How to Build a Fortune, Wealth Masterminds. In this CD, you will hear from six wealth creation experts handpicked by Donald Trump to teach the skills and strategies required to build true financial freedom. These interviews, conducted by John Ward, are excerpts from Trump University's flagship home study program, the Wealth Builder's Blueprint. First, we hear from Dr. Stephanie Burns on the mindset of success. Dr. Stephanie Burns is one of the world's leading experts on adult learning and goal achievement. Her powerful methodology sets the stage for success in every endeavor, particularly wealth creation.
Dr. Stephanie Burns, we've invited you to provide this essential piece in our program because of your pioneering work in the research and the teachings around human behavior, learning, and goal achievement. Can you tell us first a little bit about that work and your background in this subject area?
I think it actually, there's been a long thread that's been going on in my life, certainly for over the last 30 years, that has always seemed to focus on how it is adults get where it is they say they want to go. Now, for me, I wasn't an outstanding learner in school. I was the kid who was typically bored, sitting in class taking copious amounts of notes that never made any sense. I was more the kid who wanted to be very active in learning. And so for me, when I came out of high school, you know, the first thought I had was wanting to be a computer engineer, but I did not want to go sit for 4 or 6 more years in a university taking more notes, listening to lectures that didn't make any sense. So I looked for an alternative, and I actually started in the United States Army at 18 years old, being trained as a computer engineer. And in those days, very few women were accepted into the engineering fields. I was lucky. And what was unique about that learning experience for me that kind of probably set me on the whole path I'm on today is that for the very first time I was in a learning environment that supported my style of learning. Yes, there was time for sitting still and taking notes, but soon enough they'd say, why don't you get up? There's a computer over there. Tear it apart, put it back together again with 5 less pieces, you know? And so for me, for the first time as a learner, I could get out of my chair, talk out loud. I could actively experiment. And the result of that was for the very first time in school, I graduated number one in my class. Now, in the military here in America, when you graduate number one in your class, oftentimes what happens is they make you a military instructor. So for me, becoming an instructor certainly wasn't on the path, and certainly working with adult learners was not necessarily something I had planned for, but by circumstance, I was there. And the circumstance of the military probably sets the entire stage for how I've dealt with adult learners ever since. My first class of students were 40 men. Every single one of the men outranked me. They were all older than I was, and obviously they were physically much larger. So, of course, when a student would raise his hand and say, excuse me, Corporal Burns, but I don't know what that means or I'm confused. Well, I couldn't do what I'd seen my teachers do. I couldn't say things like, well, of course, someone like you is going to be confused, or if you'd stop talking in class, or if you'd do your homework. See, I couldn't do any of those things. I had to stand at attention, salute the student, go to parade rest and say, well, excuse me, could you tell me what I did personally to cause your confusion? Now, when you ask a student what causes their confusion, interestingly, they tell you. And what I learned at 19 years old was that with adult learners, if you gave it to them another way with a different metaphor or example, presented it differently, invariably their confusion went away. And the result for me was learning that oftentimes adults come into classroom situations with skills as learners that are not necessarily adequate to support themselves. And if they don't get the support from the teacher or facilitator, then there's no hope. And there's a tremendous amount of failure with adults as learners in formal classrooms and informal study simply because they either aren't skilled themselves and they're not facilitated or prepared properly themselves. So for me, the Army was a very big movement. I went out and I became an engineer for many companies, but I then ended up at ABC Television in the early 80s, and I stood in front of a group. I'd been asked to teach computer literacy, and I thought, well, you know, how easy could this be? I mean, this is only computer literacy. But what I confronted were a large number of senior managers there to learn to use technology, and I had an assumption that if you take otherwise smart, successful adults, which most people are who do learning courses like the one we're talking about, that they'll behave like smart learners in the classroom environment. I expected they'd raise a hand and ask a question, that they would take notes appropriately and properly, they would study well and rigorously. But of course, what I found was that when you take otherwise successful adults, put them in a classroom, and ask them to learn, what they tend to do is they go back and behave like they were 6 or 7 years old in school. They rock on their chairs. They go to the bathroom 9 times more than it's physically possible to have to do. Of course, if they have a question, they don't want to raise their hand and ask because they don't want to be embarrassed in front of their peers or colleagues. So the ABC experience for me was absolutely critical. It opened my eyes to how ill-prepared adults are to go back into learning situations and take advantage of those. After that experience, I spent the next 4 years doing research in the area of human behavior, specifically focused on adult learning and motivation, also in the area of achievement. As a result of that, I started to test some methods and started to teach or re-educate adults into how to be more effective learners when they went back into learning situations, be those self-directed, things they were doing at home on their own, or back in formal classrooms. And for the last 15 or 20 years now, that work has been dominant in my life. I've continued to do research. I went off and did a PhD to solve some of the more difficult problems that I was encountering with adult learners. And so today I would be seen as someone who gets brought into organizations or into schools who has a high stake in the quality of learning that they're offering to their people. And so they may have excellent information, excellent content, but what is oftentimes missing is quality facilitation, be that facilitation being wrapped around, as we're doing here with an audio CD, or some sort of online facilitation event, or something face-to-face, but something that prepares the adult for what it is they're about to engage in so that they get and are able to take the best advantage. So that's a little bit about me. I've worked with hundreds of organizations doing this type of work in many different media, and I'm just happy to be here to be able to do that for this project now.
Thanks. Can you give me a couple of examples of how your methodologies have changed the results that people have obtained from their learning experiences?
Well, I mean, I suppose I can give you one now. I'm working with a very large organization dealing with natural horsemanship. They're a worldwide company. They have hundreds of thousands of students who want and desire to study natural horsemanship under the leader, Pat Pirelli. And, of course, this difficult situation is that, you know, Pat has brilliant material around natural horsemanship, but his ability then to produce an educational program that actually facilitates that year-long, two-year-long, three-year-long learning process for someone who's sitting in their home who's got a horse out in the paddock was highly problematic. So someone like me comes in, and rather than having things like 100,000 people buy a homeschool program and only 15 or 20% actually completing it, now they're getting completion rates that, you know, are above 90% simply because the learner is prepared and facilitated along the way. And this would be done for many, many organizations, be it leadership training, sales training, very task-oriented training, such as, you know, reskilling on the computers. I worked with the banks down in Australia, where I've just come up from, getting them to get computer literacy or literacy with the internet and really comfortable facilities for people. They had lots of courses to teach people about computers and technology, but the result oftentimes was that people were really not using it. They were abandoning the courses very early on. And even, I'll tell you what, some of the online courses that are there now in the e-learning area, the uptake of e-learning around the world has been very high, but the completion rates for learners is very low. I've just finished a contract with a client who bought a large number of licenses to skill their people with e-learning programs. The result was only 4% completion. And so my job, what I was brought in to do, was to prepare learners to be able to learn in an e-learning environment such that they could take better advantage of what it was they were being offered. So my work is so broad spectrum and spread across such a diverse range of clients and diverse interests that it's very hard to say this is the particular niche. It's almost any single person or group or organization who wants to see people legitimately learn, legitimately take away what it is they're offering as information and use it in their lives is likely someone who's going to give me a call at one point or another.
There are many skills required, of course, for wealth creation, both internal and external, that will be presented on this program. Why do we need this kind of preparation first? Why not get straight to the meat and potatoes of how to make money?
Well, I think, you know, the proof's in the pudding. I mean, there are how many books and programs and products already on the market that deal with wealth creation, and yet we don't see a lot of people actively being able to uptake that knowledge and those skills in such a way that they're able to utilize it out in the marketplace. One of the things that intrigued me about this new program was the willingness of its producers to actually care about whether people heard the messages from those content experts, actually were able to study that material appropriately and rigorously in such a way that they could then be compelled to take action when they were back out in real-world situations. So I'm all for, you know, people diving in and buying books. But I mean, you have to get that the average adult in business today reads 11 or 12 pages of any given business book they buy. So they buy it with enthusiasm and excitement. They're all excited about the end goal that they may get. But of course, they open the page, and once they realize the action they have to take, everything falls apart. And there's some very good science and biological reasons why adults procrastinate and avoid action. And one of the things that can be done is you can use someone like me to get people better prepared to be able to take advantage of the programs that you offer. So wealth creation, to me, requires knowledge, new knowledge. That means your brain has to know things it doesn't know now. And it also has to be able to do new things that it can't do now. And for me, the measure that learning has occurred, which is, you know, a benchmark in my world, but very rarely a benchmark in any programs I've seen out there in this area, is number one, that the student can, at the end, talk about it articulately in a casual conversation. How you know you've learned something is if you can sit around the dinner table and talk about those concepts and ideas, again, articulately and casually, without notes and without having to think. That's how deep the knowledge learning has to be. And skills have to be installed so deeply that you can execute them without thinking that there's been a genuine change in behavior. So for me, with wealth creation being skill-based and knowledge-based, this product's promise is that people will leave having studied it intelligently as a good adult learner, effectively as an adult learner, such that they own the knowledge in a way that they can talk about it casually and they can genuinely use it in their everyday behavior without having to think about it.
It's striking to me that the special focus of Trump University, with the guidance of Professor Roger Shank as the chief learning officer, is what we call learning by doing. And it seems that what you're saying is that it's in the doing area that learning often breaks down. Why is this? Why is it that we will buy a tape set like this or a CD set, or we'll read a book, we'll get excited, we'll see the vision, but then we fail to really follow through? What's going on here?
Well, that's an interesting human behavior question, and it's actually what drove me to do my PhD. Here's a little setup for this, and then I'll give you an idea of the kinds of things that cause this breakdown to happen quite naturally. When I was teaching people how to learn more effectively, my assumption, an almost naive assumption, was that if you gave people skills to be effective learners such that they knew for a fact that if they wanted it, they had the goal, they wanted to achieve it, they could do that for without question. My assumption was if you gave people skills at that level, then they would go do what they want to do in their life. They'd go back to school, or they'd get a pilot's license, or they'd learn to play guitar, or whatever the case may be. And I started to do some research, and what I found was that when you take adults, or when I found my adults, going out self-selecting very important goals, like dealing with wealth creation, for example, by and large, and we're talking very large, 75 to 85% of all the surveys and studies we did showed that adults, after having selected a goal like that, failed to achieve it. And when I started to see that, I thought, my goodness, 75 to 85% of the adults self-selecting important professional and personal goals are failing to achieve them. That's a really interesting thing to look at. And what was interesting is, number one, the size of the problem. It says that it's more normal for us to fail to achieve a goal than it is for us to achieve a goal. So it says you're being normal if you fail, you're being exceptional or extraordinary if you achieve. But there was a lot of resistance to that thinking. I don't think anyone had really started to consider that it's actually normal to quit and it's actually exceptional to continue. So given my background in human behavior and very much coming from a biology and kind of a brain science perspective, I started to look at that number and say, the only way it can be that big, and it can be such that it's a normal effect. It says that something inherent in our behavior moves us away from taking action. So I had my subjects in my PhD research, and they all had personal and professional goals that they were looking to pursue. And we tracked those people over time, and we had them report on what their experience was of learning during that time. So let's say they wanted to learn three songs on the guitar. They wanted to read all the books of a professional that they admired. So they had these goals, and we set them off to go about it. And sure enough, 75 to 85% of them eventually quit. But what was very interesting was the analysis of their reports about their experience. We found one thing that was very interesting. We found that better than 90% of the time when adults describe how they feel when they're learning, how they feel when they're reading, how they feel when they're doing their typing tutor practice, we get a negative effect. They get a negative response. That means they're bored, confused, frustrated, or physically distressed. They've got butterflies in their stomach, or they're upset about something, or they get a headache. So what we found was that there was a large number of negative effect when adults took action needed for learning. So let's face it, if you're going typing tutor practice and you keep getting beep, 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 error, 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 go slower, you know, I've seen people throw computers against the wall. They're frustrated. Now, that means this. Humans, biologically, when they are under distress, their brain is going to go do whatever it takes to help, to kind of get them out of that distress. Now, in learning, the single fastest way your brain can help you stop being distressed is to get you to stop doing whatever you're doing. So if you stop your typing tutor practice, all of a sudden, the stress goes away. If you're reading a book that's very boring, it's not well written, or it's confusing, or it's making you feel anxious, the single fastest way that you can feel better in that moment is to stop reading. So here we go. So now we're going to give adults, in this case, a series of audio CDs by content experts. They're going to have a series of activities, perhaps, that they'll go off and do in their real-world situation. And what will tend to happen is that as people get excited about the product and therefore they're motivated through the positive idea of it to buy it, once the reality comes of opening up the package and putting the first CD in and then listening to it and then having to study it and perhaps taking notes from it and perhaps having to review it and then go use it, most of those activities are just not fun. It's not that they're terrible. They're just not particularly fun to go do things that are new and feel discomforting. So human beings have a natural tendency to avoid or procrastinate around things that bring on discomfort. In order for people to do things that are discomforting, they must have a kind of mindset or a mental strategy that says being bored is not a good enough reason to stop. Being confused is normal and natural in learning, and it's okay. Feeling frustrated is temporary, for example, is only going to last for a short time until I get to the end of the book. If you don't have a strategy that makes feeling bad okay, you will abandon almost any learning goal you set.